We'd like to welcome you to our service of the Sumas Christian Reformed Church, March 29, 2020. Because of the ongoing pandemic of coronavirus, the service is going to be on the church's website. And hopefully, if you don't have access to the church's website, you can get a hold of a CD. We'd like to welcome you as we worship the Lord. Our call to worship today is taken from 1 Chronicles 16. Give to the Lord the glory due His name. Bring an offering and come before Him. O worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Tremble before Him, all the earth. The world also is firmly established. It shall not be moved. Let the heavens rejoice and let the earth be glad. And let them say among the nation, the Lord reigns. Our first hymn today is from the Hymns of the Family of God, as are all the hymns. Hymn number 71, Faith is the Victory. Encamped along the hills of light, ye Christian soldiers rise. And press the battle ere the night shall veil the glowing skies. Against the foe in veils below, let all our strength unbehurled. Faith is the victory we know that overcomes the world. Faith is the victory. Faith is the victory, oh glorious victory that overcomes the world. To him that overcomes the foe, white raiment shall be given. Before the angels he shall know his name confessed in heaven. Then onward from the hills of light, our hearts with love aflame, will vanquish all the host of night in Jesus' conquering name. Faith is the victory, faith is the victory, oh glorious victory that overcomes the world. Our second hymn is taken from Hymns Family of God, hymn number 526. Faith of our fathers living still, in spite of dungeon, fire, and sword. Oh, how our hearts beat high with joy whenever we hear that glorious word. Faith of our fathers, holy faith, we will be true to thee till death. Faith of our fathers, we will love both friend and foe in all our strife. And preach thee too as love knows how, by kindly words and virtuous life. Faith of our fathers, holy faith, we will be true to thee till death. The next hymn is hymn number 525, Now Thank We All Our God. Now thank we all our God, with hearts and hands and voices, who wondrous things hath done, in whom is world world rejoices, who from our mother's arms hath blessed us on our way with countless gifts of love, and still is ours today. All praise and thanks to God the Father now be given, the Son and Him who reigns with Him in highest heaven, the one eternal God, whom earth and heaven adore, for thus it was, is now, and shall be evermore. Our salutation from the Lord is taken from Psalm 24. Lift up your heads, O you gates, and be lifted up, you everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord, strong and mighty, the Lord, mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O you gates, lift up, you everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. The reading from God's law is taken from Psalm 57. Be merciful to me, O God, be merciful to me, for my soul trusts in you, and in the shadow of your wings I will make my refuge. Until these calamities have passed by, I will cry out to God Most High, to God who performs all things for me. He shall send from heaven and save me. He reproaches the one who would swallow me up. God shall send forth his mercy and his truth. My soul is among lions. I lie among the sons of men who are set on fire, whose teeth are spears and arrows, and their tongue a sharp sword. Be exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let your glory be above all the earth. They have prepared a net for my steps. My soul is bowed down. They have dug a pit before me. Into the midst of it, they themselves have fallen. Let us pray. Our gracious God and Father, we do praise you and thank you that we are free to come into your presence because Jesus Christ bore our transgressions and he robed us in your righteousness, and that you have given us the indwelling Spirit where we call you Father. We thank you that you bid us come, and you've promised that if we confess our sins, you are faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So we ask, Lord, that you would search our hearts and see if there be any wicked way in us, that you would cleanse us, that we would be clean. We thank you, Father, that it is your work, not ours. We thank you that your Holy Spirit is the one who convicts us of sin, righteousness, and judgment, and leads us into truth, and teaches us to exalt Jesus Christ. We pray these things in his precious name. Amen. Also from Psalm 57, we read, My heart is steadfast, O God. My heart is steadfast. I will sing and give praise. Awake, my glory. Awake, lute and harp. I will awaken the dawn. I will praise you, O Lord, among the peoples. I will sing to you among the nations, for your mercy reaches unto the heavens, and your truth unto the clouds. Be exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let your glory be above all the earth. Our next hymn is hymn number 495. It is Well With My Soul. When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well, it is well with my soul, it is well with my soul, it is well, it is well with my soul. My sin, oh, the joy of this glorious thought, my sin not in part but the whole, is nailed to the cross, and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, O my soul. It is well with my soul, it is well, it is well with my soul. And Lord, haste the day when my faith shall be sight. The clouds be rolled back as a scroll. The trump shall resound, and the Lord shall descend. Even so, it is well with my soul, it is well with my soul, it is well, it is well with my soul.
Let us pray. Our Father and God, we come to you as your people this day, and we want to be the people who are your priest, and we want to intercede for our community and for Washington State and for the United States and the world. Lord, we're all in the grip of this coronavirus, and we know that you are the sovereign Lord, and that even this is under your authority. So we would ask that you would lift this and that you would take it away from us, that we would be able to resume our regular routine. And in the process, Father, we ask that we would learn those things which you wish to teach us through this, that we would understand that you do all things to conform your people to the image of Christ, and that we as individuals and corporate are to be molded into the shape of your Son, and that you are the one who's active by your Spirit. So we ask that we would be paying attention to what it is that you choose to teach each of us, to teach us individually and corporately. And we ask, Lord, that we as your people would be salt and light, that we would exalt your Son, and that we would fix our eyes upon him who did love us and die for us, and that we would remember that we are to rejoice always. And again, you said to us that we are to rejoice, and that we are to give thanks in all things, for this is the will of God for us. So we ask, Lord, as we contemplate the statistics and we remember those who are suffering and those who are out of jobs and are concerned about income, We ask, Lord, that we who are your people would be used of you to minister your truth and your grace, and that men and women would be drawn to you, and that people who do not know you would learn of your grace and mercy, and that people who confess your name, who have one foot in the world and one foot in the kingdom of God, we ask that they would understand that they are to be thoroughly committed to Jesus Christ, and that friendship with the world is enmity with you. We thank you, Father, for your faithful servants throughout the world. We thank you especially for those faithful servants who are being used in the medical field to give comfort, to give, show compassion, and by your mercy and grace, pointing men to the cross. We ask now that throughout this coming week, the words of our mouth and meditations of our heart would be acceptable in your sight. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. Our scripture reading today is a very familiar psalm, Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. The diligence and care of the shepherd for the sheep has been the subject of the whole psalm. The psalm divides into essentially three pieces. The first boasts, the sheep is boasting to other sheep about the care that his shepherd gives him. Not all sheep have good shepherds. This sheep is telling of the good shepherd, who is diligent and very concerned for his sheep. Then the sheep speaks to the shepherd. Now, at the end of the psalm, the sheep sums up all that has preceded. All the benefits of the shepherd's skill and wise management are encapsulated in the phrase, "Surely, goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life." The sheep with such a shepherd is in a place of privilege, for not all sheep have a shepherd that cares for the flock with skill and wisdom. It is worth remembering that sheep under mismanagement and unskilled care are the most destructive of livestock. They can ruin and ravage land almost beyond remedy. But under skilled management, sheep are the most beneficial to the land. The ancients referred to sheep as those with golden hooves. Their manure is the best balanced of any domestic livestock, so the pasture land benefits enormously when the wise shepherd expertly leads his flock from shepherd section to section. The sheep, preferring to lie down on high ground, ensures that the richness of the lowland is recycled to the poorer ground on the heights. Sheep eat all kinds of herbage. They eat all kinds of weeds. One weed which was the bane of Wyoming farmers, the Canadian thistle, which is beautiful, but a weed nevertheless, is a delectable food to the sheep who enjoy buds and tips of the thistle. As sheep can be the most ruinous of domestic animals, they are also able to bring a ravaged land back to beauty if well managed. The shepherd, the good shepherd, that we hear of in Psalm 23, is one who brings the land back to beauty by pasturing his sheep wisely and taking care of it. In this summation, The psalmist writes and he says, "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life." Let's first look at goodness. Jesus, when he was approached by a young man, and the young man's question was, "Good master, what must I do to have eternal life?" Jesus replied, "Why do you call me good? No one is good but one, that is God." Jesus was reminding us that that which is good is rooted in the character and person of God. When Moses asked to see God in Exodus 33, God told Moses that he could not see his face, but God did say, "I will make all my goodness pass before you, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before you. I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion." The goodness that the psalmist speaks of is rooted in the person and character of God. And we all are familiar with the phrase, "God is good," and so he is. Paul reminds us in Romans 3 that in terms of mankind, there is none that does good, no, not one. So when the psalmist here in Psalm 23 sums up the work of the Good Shepherd, and he says, "Surely goodness," that is the character and person of God. God himself is following his sheep. God himself is pursuing those who are members of his flock. But not only is the goodness of God involved, his mercy. The English translation here, mercy, is a Hebrew word, chesed. Chesed is used over 240 times in the Old Testament, and it has various translations. The various translations are good, mercy, loving kindness. They're not all the same. And in Psalm 144, we see that God himself is called chesed. Psalm 144 says, "Blessed be the Lord my rock, who trains my hands for war and my fingers for battle, my chesed and my fortress, my high tower and my deliverer." Your English translation won't have chesed in it. It will probably have the word loving kindness. When you see the word loving kindness in the Old Testament, you need to know that that is a word that was invented by Miles Coverdale when he was translating the Old Testament into English. And he invented it because he needed a word that would answer to chesed, and this is one that he chose. The nearest New Testament equivalent is the word that we translate grace. And Luther, when he did his translations of the Old and New Testament, realized that he used the German, and I probably will mispronounce it, Gnade, for both chesed and charis, which are Hebrew and Greek words. With respect to this Hebrew word, the word is used in cases where there is some recognized tie between the parties. It is not used indiscriminately of kindness. It's not used indiscriminately of love. It has something to do with the covenant or a covenant relationship. As you recall, God himself made a covenant with Israel. And in the Old Testament, you see that God pursues Israel. When Israel rebels against him, God still takes care of Israel and pursues Israel. Israel is faithless, God remains faithful. The meaning is not that Israel was more tender in her attitude towards God and her affections, and this is from Jeremiah, where Jeremiah uses the word chesed, referencing the kindness of the Israeli's youth. When Israel first came out of Egypt, she was much more obedient to Christ or to Yahweh, and Israel also was closer to the giving of the law and therefore more likely to keep the law. But as they drifted away, they failed in their covenant relationship, but God pursued them. Therefore, the predominant use of the word chesed has something to do with the mercy and forgiveness of God that is rooted in his covenant relationship. He is always faithful to his bargain. He is always faithful to that which he has promised. This chesed that God extends toward the nation of Israel is wholly undeserved. If you remember when the covenant was made, God told them that if they obeyed, that certain blessings would follow, and if they disobeyed, certain cursings, and they promised that they would be obedient. Well, they failed in their obedience, but God did not fail in his chesed love for them. The righteous demands that God had for his people were strict, and the Old Testament prophets were certain that God's yearning for his people was greater than their unrighteousness. God's persistent love for his people is manifested throughout the Old Testament. It's important to realize that though the Hebrew word can be translated by various other words, but in particular loving kindness and mercy, we must always beware lest we think that God is content with less than righteousness. There is no reference to any sentimental kindness and no suggestion of mercy apart from repentance. Where the Hebrew word is used, God's demand for righteousness is insistent and is always at the maximum intensity. The loving kindness of God means that his mercy is greater even than that. The word stands for the wonder of his unfailing love for the people of his choice and the solving of the problem of the relationship between his righteousness and his loving kindness, passing beyond human comprehension. This is summed up in Romans when Paul says that the righteous God is able to make unrighteous men righteous. What does that mean? It means that God in his righteousness has a law, and if we break the law in any point, we are guilty of all and therefore subject to death. But God in his covenant love, in his covenant care of his sheep, he in his Son fulfills the law completely, so that the righteous law is fulfilled righteously, and therefore unrighteous men may be robed in the righteousness of Christ and therefore stand before God as righteous. The goodness and this pursuing love of God is how the psalmist sums up Psalm 23. Surely the goodness and the mercy, the leal love of God pursues us all the days of our lives. The following can be taken in two ways. That God, in his goodness and covenant love, follows me in whatever circumstances I am. I am never not being pursued by God's goodness and his covenant leal love. But the second way that we can take it is that we who are recipients of this grace, mercy, leal love, and goodness of God leave a residue behind us that direct men to the shepherd that we follow. The psalmist in Psalm 23 boasts to other sheep about the care that he gets from his shepherd. Do we boast to other men and women concerning the care that we have from the God who loves us from eternity? No matter what comes into the life of the believer is assured that he's always under the wise management of the Good Shepherd. We have this statement in Romans that all things work together for good to them that love God and are called to his purpose. And we understand that the good and the purpose is to be conformed to the image of his Son. What more can we say than to boast in the God who loves us? And we can expect nothing more or less than the goodness and grace and mercy of God because he loves our souls. This second piece of understanding the word follow points to the fact that the sheep have influence. First of all, sheep are to beget sheep. And sheep have influence concerning their surroundings. We are to make our surroundings better. If we remember what a good flock of sheep, well-managed flock of sheep will do, they will bring a barren pasture into fertility. So ask yourself, I have five questions here. First, do I leave behind peace in lives or turmoil? Two, do I leave behind forgiveness or bitterness? Three, do I leave behind contentment or conflict? Four, do I leave behind flowers of joy or frustration? Five, do I leave behind love or rancor? Paul speaks to this when he says, "Now thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph in Christ, through us diffuses the fragrance of his knowledge in every place. For we are to give God the fragrance of Christ among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. To the one we are the aroma of death leading to death, and to the other the aroma of life leading to life. Who is sufficient for these things? For we are not, as so many, peddling the word of God, but as of sincerity, but as from God we speak in the sight of God in Christ." Do you have the confidence in whatever circumstance in your life that the goodness and mercy of the Good Shepherd are following you? Is this your confidence every day in every situation, that God is pursuing you in his goodness and his covenant love? Does your life bear the fragrance of Christ? Let us pray. Our gracious God and Father, we thank you that you have called us out of darkness into your light, and that you are indeed the Good Shepherd. We thank you that the Good Shepherd, Jesus Christ, did give his life for the sheep, and that He is the one who shepherds us day by day, moment by moment. We thank you that we are the sheep of his pasture, and that he feeds us daily, that he sustains us from day to day. We ask that we would be his faithful servants, and that we would learn how to bear other sheep and how to boast in Christ. As Paul says, that we are not to boast in anything of ourselves, but that we are to boast in the cross. So we ask, Lord, that this would be what we do, and that we would be those who will stand before you and receive a well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter into the joys of my kingdom. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Our last hymn will be taken from the Hymns for the Family of God and be hymn number 40. The Psalm 23 set to music. The Lord's my shepherd, I'll not want. He makes me down to lie in pastures green. He leadeth me the quiet waters by. My soul he doth restore again, yet will I fear no ill. Within the paths of righteousness, in for his own name's sake. Yea, though I walk in death's dark veil, yet will I fear no ill, for thou art with me, and thy rod and staff me comfort still. My table thou hast furnished in presence of my foes. My head thou dost with oil anoint, and my cup overflows. Goodness and mercy all my life shall surely follow me, and in God's house forevermore my dwelling place shall be. Now, to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations, forever and ever. Amen. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. I will sing, I will sing, I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord. With my mouth will I make known thy faithfulness, with my mouth will I make known thy faithfulness to all generations. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord. May the Lord bless you this coming week, and may you see his mercies, which are new every day. Amen.